Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Friends.
Ah, yeah, it's time for Jen's Friends. It is time to look back on the best calls and texts this week. And I have two of my very, very, very close and personal friends in the roadcaster, comedian Damo Clark and presenter and podcaster Fionnuala Jones. Good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Good. Are you? How is everyone else? Good.
We're good. We're good. We're okay with dogs, yeah?
We're
yeah.
Okay,
good, we'll move on.
There's a dog here.
There is not a dog here. There's not a dog. Here.
It's 5 foot. It's a big red dog. It's Clifford. It's massive. It's taking up this whole bus thing. Whatever we're in. We're in a bus right now.
No, Snoop is,
what do you call it? Roadster?
It's my big car.
It's the Roadster.
No, the Roadcaster.
Oh, sorry.
Why is it called a Roadcaster, Damo?
Because we're so many demos. Is it casting?
Casting from the road.
Yes.
I just feel like we're in a motorhome. There's a dog here. You know,
we're on our holidays. Perfect.
Let's just take it for a spin.
We're on our holidays.
We're just about to start playing card games.
I know. Uno, drop four. Take that.
Yes, it does feel a bit like that. It's crazy. But it's weird because people keep dropping things to the roadcast. We've got a box of donuts, we're getting coffees, we're getting scones, we're getting food, we're getting dog treats for the dog that isn't here. It's amazing.
Do you hear the sniffing?
He's sniffing you because you obviously have cats.
I have a cat.
Who's not very well.
No, he's not very well, but he's going to pull through.
He'll be fine.
He probably ate some plants. You know, cats and dogs, they like eating plants. Mm. But he's been vomiting for 2 weeks.
In Jen's Newsy Bits, we were talking about the various things you cannot feed your dog around Thanksgiving and Christmas and turkey and gravy and grapes. I never knew about grapes.
Yeah, grapes are lethal, apparently.
They are lethal.
So wine is a no-go.
What, can't give your dog wine, no. But what about cats? What can you not give a cat?
I don't know. The food has to stink for cats to eat it.
Okay. So grapes are out.
Yeah. Grapes are nice. I don't know, do they? So I don't know. Just like rotten fish. I don't know.
No, my cat would eat through plywood. She's on a diet at the minute and she looks me every day as to be like, why are you starving me, you menacing, horrible woman? Like she'll eat my leg, I'd say.
Why are you starving your cat?
Well, I'm not starving her. The vet recommended because she was a larger lady and was impacting on other aspects of her health. And you know what? As her mom, I was like, I'm doing this for your own good. But now it's kind of gone the other way. She's gone too much of a skinny athletic legend and is now pole vaulting all over our kitchen. And I'm just like, I don't know why you're acting like this. Yeah, too much energy.
Too much energy.
Yeah, literally.
Okay, well, I know a lot of people actually that have had to do the same with their pets. My brother, for example, had a dog and they had to restrict his diet because he was a larger gent.
Yeah.
And also my brother used to say things like, he doesn't like going for walks, he likes going for drives. So it's like, this is definitely your fault. Now, lads, yesterday we heard from listeners about what they spent their first paycheck on. Okay, this went crazy on the text machine. Damo, what was your first job and what did you invest wisely in?
When I was 13, nearly 14, my first job was at a fruit and veg shop in Perth and in Cardinia, the Cardinia Shopping Centre, the Cardi. And it was just like carrots and apples. Every day after school, and they got $20 for the week.
For the week?
$20 for a whole week. And I was delighted, man. I couldn't believe my life. I was like, no, it was a couple of hours. I was on sort of trial as well. But I mean, he was definitely ripping me off. But I was just like, $20! I can't believe I earned $20, right?
For a whole week, wow.
So I got the bus into Fremantle, and then there was a Sonic the Hedgehog hat. Because I was that sad, I was into Sonic 2. On Mega Drive, and I was like,
"That's not sad. Incredible game.
It's one of the best
brilliant
games of all time.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Thank you."
So, and you're into hats even back then.
Yeah, man, I always wore caps
since you were 30. How old?
Oh yeah, like well, I mean, when you know, Fionnuala was just in Australia, it's like slip, slop, slap, slap on a hat,
slap
you know,
on a hat, slap on a hat. And you bought a Sonic.
I bought a black Sonic hat, and I still wear it's in bits, obviously, but I've got it in Dublin. I still wear it.
That is incredible that you actually still have that. I do not have my X-Works jeans that I bought for my first job. X-Works jeans or my Eclipse. Do you remember them? No.
Yes.
You're not that old. Amazing. Fionnuala, what was keeping you focused as you scrubbed hotels like I have in the past?
Oh my God, what a time. I miss my housekeeping days. I'll never forget when I got my own trolley. Did you have a trolley when you were housekeeping? I remember I had to like work my way up the ranks before I got a trolley with my name on it, as opposed to sharing one of the girls. But anyway, yeah, so I was stripping beds, cleaning rooms. And I remember this was around the time, like, if you didn't have your hair straightened, you were a sick freak, ostracized from all society in school and among women. So I was dying for hair straighteners, and I'd kind of gone through a couple of like knockoff ones, not good. Yeah, they were probably going up to like 300 degrees and melting my hair fibers together. But anyway, you live and you learn. So I remember saving up for like the brand at the time, and it was like hundreds of euro. And I just remember thinking, and then I remember having it and having the proper box and unpacking it and like the mat that you put it on. And I was like, this is
living.
This is how like the real people live. Like, you know, it was just, and then every time I straightened my hair, I was just like, so satisfied with myself. Taking my selfies on my Nikon camera.
I love it.
Back in the day.
You've actually triggered me, because when I first met Lau, he was 24 and he used to straighten his hair.
No. I had one of them in the past as well, yeah, but I got rid of him.
Well, I married him and had kids with him. And I took out, I remember taking my straightener the other day, and it was on the bed. I was like, remember you had one of those? He goes, it was the thing we all did. David Beckham was straightening his hair. We were all straightening our hair. I was like, I don't think you were. I do kind of think
it was, because I remember even then they started putting out the like the mini ones for like if you just wanted to do your fringe or like on the go. I remember then I got a mini one and it was like luminous green. I was like, well, I don't, why do I need two? Why do I need a minier version of the same thing?
A keyring version.
Yeah.
In the car, straighten the fringe, or hit the lights.
Can I ask you, well, the two of you, do either of you know what footing turf means? Because we had a fella on who bought a set of drums after doing it, and I hadn't a clue what it was.
Footing. Foot in turf.
No, footing.
A footing.
Footing turf.
Footing turf.
I take it you don't know what it is.
Collecting the turf, yeah? Sure, whatever that practice is. No,
no.
I'm not cultured enough.
You're stuck in the mud.
Footing turf.
Your foot is in turf.
Okay. I'm going to get rinsed for not knowing this. Yeah,
you are, because you're not a dog. You're going to get rinsed. Well, you have an excuse. You're Australian. You have excuses. Well, you.
I lived on an island. There's no turf on islands, is there? Well, my geography is being really challenged here this morning. I wasn't prepared for this.
Trying to get yourself out of that one. Let's move on.
Is turf on islands?
Let's move on. Okay, on Tuesday we heard about the things that listeners had an irrational concern over. You know, like apostrophes in the wrong place or dishwasher stacking, that kind of stuff. Fionnuala, how far do you go for a proper cup of tea?
Oh, to Cork and back. I regularly get slagged. So I'm going out with the dub. I'm obviously from Cork. And my dad, hello dad, thank you for doing this for me. He will bring up like a 2 litre or a 3 litre of water from our house so that I can make tea in Dublin, because the water in Dublin just isn't the same and it's not nice. It's not nice for tea. It's fine
so
to drink.
But your home tap water in big bottles.
Yeah.
Brought up.
Yeah.
Your home tap water is better than the water in Dublin.
Yeah, and my fiance is furious about it. He's like, it doesn't taste different. I hate that you do this. Why are you doing this to your dad? And I'm like, no, it 100%. It's so different. It's so delicious with the Cork water.
I'm just thinking of how spoiled you are and the things.
Oh, I'm so spoiled. Yeah, I'm obsessed. Youngest child. Hello. Is it any wonder I am the way I am?
I love it.
And that's why you have a water tank in your sitting room. Water from Cork.
It says here, am I reading this right? It says here that you are an ambience guy.
Ambience. Oh, yes, that's true.
Not an ambulance guy, an ambience.
I love ambulances. What can I say?
What do you do to relax?
I was telling Killian, he's like, is there anything that you like have to have right? And I set up the comedy club and I love like putting candles around. So, you know, I'll always have candles everywhere. And the other guy,
it has to look right.
That is a pathetic way to jut in your comedy club into Jen's friend segment. That is a pathetic plug. I was going to ask you at the end, how can you go from weird things that you get annoyed over to saying you're an ambience guy and then getting the crack den in there?
You said Crackden, I didn't say it.
God, you're good.
He got you.
No, I'll let you have it. At the Crackden Comedy Club that you host and night of the week.
Yeah, if I take the plug out of it, like when you walk into a bar, it's all about lighting and music. That's the first thing you notice, unless there's a huge stench. You want lighting and music, and then like you want low lighting, candles and good tunes, and I'll always be going around with a lighter light. But I don't know if I'm a pyromaniac or I didn't do anything in Dublin last night apart from just lighting candles. That's it. Candles.
Okay.
But I had them all around, and I think it makes a difference. I think people go in, it's, you know.
What if the venue said to you, no candles?
Oh, I'd have to use the battery ones and I don't like them.
Yeah. Do you know what I don't know. You'd have to have Christmas? Something.
No, the battery ones are rot. They're nothing compared to the real thing, you know. Yeah. But it's why people hate the big light as well in their homes. Like, they're very staunch. Not everyone, but most people I know are like, do not, if you're coming into a room, do not turn on the big light. It's a small, soft, ambient light. You don't want to just be attacked.
Me and everyone else, you don't have to look fantastic because it's dark.
It's a real-life filter.
Yeah, it is.
Perfect.
So, ugly people welcome. I like it. I'll be there.
Don't have to do anything with your face.
Come here. On Wednesday, we spoke about King Charles' cringy encounter with K-pop girl band Blackpink.
Oh, yes.
Did you see this?
No, this made my skin crawl.
It was horrific. He was trying to be all down with the kids and cool, and he kept getting it wrong. Now, I'm going to do something now. You don't have your... Put you on your headphones. Okay. Cormac is back at base. Cormac, are you there? Come in, Cormac. Come in. Are you there?
What? Yes, hello. Hi, Jen. How's it going?
Who's up?
What do you mean, what? On the cart wall, we do have a clip of King Charles being King Charles and a clip of this speech. Is it, just tell me, is it there? Can you see it?
I will tell you now. Well, what I'm doing is, just to let you know, a little radio secret is, I'm waiting for somebody else to put it on the cart wall.
Okay.
And do you want to have a chat? By the way, lads, while you're there, if you're ever in a job that you can't go to the toilets with, don't get a scone because it has crumbled on me and all I can do is put it through my nose. Anyway, that's it. As I was telling you that
this
story...
This is called filling. He's filling.
He's snorting.
I'm a radio professional.
Cormac is snorting
scones.
I'm a radio professional and I'm still radio professionalising here. Here we go.
I love that. See, I love putting him on the spot. It's my favourite thing to do.
Here we go.
And he's going to kill me later. Okay, here's the clip of King Charles. Go.
Okay.
Danny Boyle with Bong Joon-ho, James Bond with Squid Game, and the Beatles' Let It Be with BTS's Dynamic, or Dynamite. Sadly, when I was in Seoul all those years ago, I'm not sure I developed much of what might be called the Gangnam style.
Terrific, isn't it? It's really horrific. He's trying to be cool. It's not working. Have you ever tried to be cool? I mean, Damo, what makes you feel old when you're talking to younger people?
Oh, I said this the other day. Someone was talking about some show, and I was like, oh, did you tape it? You know? Have you? You know when you said, did you tape it for no? You know, like, I taped it. It's okay, I taped it. I'll watch it later. Considering there's some sort of tape or... See, they don't know about VHS tapes, so they wouldn't, you know, unless it's in a museum for them or whatever. But so... They must think, what, physically tape it down like a crazy old man putting sellotape on his TV going, keep the pictures there, I want to watch them later.
Yeah, you can't say
tape
stuff like
them.
That. You
tape
can't.
It.
No, you're
so not. Tape.
No, don't say that. Now, Fionnuala, you're a young one, but have you ever had a moment like this of when you were trying to be cool, it just didn't work out for you and you're like, oh, God.
A couple of years ago when like TikTok was first kind of becoming a thing here, I ended up doing a campaign with a load of like prominent TikTokers and I remember like meeting them and being like, oh yeah, like I have no idea who you are, and then going back and looking at them and being like, okay, they are wiping the floor at me in terms of followers, people who are obsessed with them. And as part of the campaign we were kind of like, they were coming up with dances, and I just remember like looking at them and also trying to join in and being like, what a humiliating experience this is. Is this some kind of humiliation ritual that I'm being put up to? Like, there's nothing worse than trying to get onto a social media platform that you've missed and that they know so well, because then you just look like an idiot. Like, I remember trying to do all the dances during any of the lockdowns and stuff, and I look back, I'm like... It sets my teeth on edge.
It's awful when you're just trying to be cool. And it does. I spent my entire career trying to be cool. Even back to the Apprentice days when I was with Sir Alan Sugar. Yeah. I remember he came into a room once and he was addressing all of the contestants and he went to wave at someone at the back and I thought he was high-fiving me.
No.
I went for it and he just kind of left me hanging, and I was at the front in front of all the other contestants. I was like, I'll be first to go. Just don't try and be cool. Just don't.
Just be a loser. It's way easier.
It's funnier. It's fun.
Okay. On Monday's show, we asked listeners about those really cringy moments that kind of similar to what we were talking about just there, that just keep you awake at night. Fionnuala, how did you end up in a calligraphy cringe? What the hell is a calligraphy cringe?
That's very upper middle class, isn't it?
Yeah.
That this is my example.
Yeah, the calligraphy crew. Yeah.
I was at some kind of event again for something, promoting something. I have no idea what now. But as part of it, they had someone doing calligraphy there, and they were inviting everyone to like join in and stuff on your own paper and stuff like that. Calligraphy, for anyone that isn't familiar, it's like the fancy, posh, wavy writing. That's an awful description of it. And the actual calligraphists now have their pitchforks ready and they're coming for me. But we were all doing it, and the girl who was instructing, the woman rather, was asking me, she was like, have you ever done calligraphy before? And I said, oh, I've done it in school, you know, because if you do art in secondary school, you kind of have a pass at all different art styles and stuff like that. But I think she kind of took it up that that I had actually like studied it, that I had gone to college and done it. So then she was asking me about the course and who taught me and where I did it. And at that point, she was really enthusiastic about it. So I just kind of bed into the lie and was just like, yeah, I did it here and with this and it was great. I'm not really doing it now in my current job, blah, blah, blah. All the while I'm doing the calligraphy and I'm terrible. Like, I'm shy. Like, writing out all these words, they're illegible. And I think the gears start turning, and as I'm digging up, the gears are turning in her head to be like, oh, this woman's having me on. Like, this woman is a pathological liar. And at the start she'd been like really pally-pally with me, and then she just slowly like migrated over to other people and just actively was like, I'm done with you now. So I regularly think about that. And if you're listening,
that would keep you awake.
I'm so sorry, Mrs. Calligraphy. Yeah.
Mrs. Calligraphy. That would keep, I love how she had to explain what calligraphy was to us.
Fancy wavy writing.
You must, I mean, do you get any sleep with the daft things you say on stage in your life to your missus?
Oh, so many times. I think that's why I like doing stand up, because when you're on stage, at least people know, oh, look, he's going to say some daft things. So, but if you try it in normal life, it doesn't work. So the other day, I bought a pair of underpants. I don't know, like, calm down, everybody. I was in Marks & Spencer's 5-pack. It was on a sale, man. I was like, 5-pack, brilliant. And that's all I bought. I was like, cool.
Great undies,
man. Yeah. I was like, I need undies. I can't. To be honest, it was laundry day and I could not be bothered doing a wash. Anyway, so I was like, clean undies. And the young girl there was like, and here's your receipt. She just made a big deal about giving me a receipt for underpants. I just thought that was quite funny. And here's your receipt. So I said, like, okay, so if I soil myself, can I get my money back? And then she went all serious and went, I'll have to ask the manager.
No.
She starts going off.
No.
The manager, like, no,
no, no, no.
I'm not going to shit myself.
No, absolutely not.
Let's just be clear. That's the only time Damo has to say that was a joke. You don't have to explain that you're joking,
man.
Especially on the Crack Den Comedy Club. Yeah, like, yeah. People know how funny you are, because at the Crack Den it's very funny. What's
awful.
Happening? What's happening with you in the Crack Den?
Oh, we're on tonight. We did a show last night, considering. It was great. I mean, we're all upstairs and just watching outside and updates, and we're all safe, and we waited. It was a lock-in, and then everyone got home safe. And
oh my God,
yeah, it was
you
class.
Benefited
it was
because
a good
you had
night,
a lock-in.
Everyone was safe,
and you're in a pub.
And we're in a pub.
Was that the best place to be? Yes,
I think so.
Okay,
think so.
Were people were they worried trying to get home? Did you
grand.
Get home okay?
Well, there was a few like American tourists, and they were staying in Mountjoy Square, and we were like, okay, yeah, we'll just wait a little while. I'd go up around the long way, you know.
Well, that's very good of you to do that.
Yeah, and we'll do that, but we made sure, blah blah blah. We go, give us 3 rings when you get in. Give us 3 rings. We get everyone our numbers. Get 3 rings.
Good on you.
And then so we're back in the Workman's tonight for 2 shows.
Okay.
7:30,
okay.
9:30,
fair play to you.
And tomorrow as well.
And thanks for looking after the tourists for us.
Oh, yeah, we got to, don't we?
We got to do it.
We've
got to
take care of the tourism. Everyone was thinking, think of the tourism! What about the tourism?
Look after everybody.
Hey, if Americans love s'mores, this is the place to be, man. Roasting on the...
Too soon.
Yeah.
Fionnuala, you are just back from Australia.
Yes.
Tell me.
Aussie.
Oh, it was amazing.
What
was
doing there?
My friend Cormac is living over there, so I went over to visit him because I figure, when am I ever going to be over there? It's so far away.
You must really like Cormac, because that is a trip, an expensive trip.
Yeah. I can't really look at my bank account now, to be honest. It was because initially I got over there and I didn't really understand the currency exchange. So I was like, everything's so much cheaper. And then Cormac was like, what? And then I was like, oh, no, actually it isn't. Coffee is cheaper, but everything else is horrifically expensive. Yeah. But loved it otherwise.
What did you take from Australia? I mean, did you have any encounters with big spiders?
Yes, actually, I did. I went camping on Fraser Island, and it was like a 3-day camping trip. And the second night, you share a tent with people, obviously, and that's who you make friends, whatever, blah, blah. The second night, I wake up and my tent mate, Scarlett, it turns to me and she's like, hey, so don't panic, but... And then immediately I turn around and there's like a pretty huge spider in like the layers of our tent. So not on the outmost layer, like it wasn't ready to come for me, but I mean, it was still... too close for comfort. You know what I mean? It wasn't a daddy long legs business. You know, this fella was close to fist size, like a small fist size.
I hate to say this, but serves you right. Camping in Australia. Mental?
Oh yeah, no, and this is, Fraser Island is full of dingoes and all sorts. Like, and they're actually like, yeah, don't bring snacks to the tent because the dingoes will sniff them out and rip them up. Like, I've heard other stories of people who'd gone camping there and they brought shampoo and conditioner and stuff and they woke up and all the back of their tent had just been ripped out from the dingoes being like, Head and Shoulders, delicious. But yeah.
And the dingoes, their coats are so shiny. And so nice.
Just tangle free.
Yeah, with
their straightened.
Little mini strainers, yes. Guys, thank you for being my friend today. Dama, where can people find you and follow you? And
The Crackden Comedy Club, 5 nights a week, Tuesday to Saturday, and at Damien Clark on the socials.
Yes, absolutely. Fionnuala, where can people stalk you and see all your amazing footage of you in Australia, camping in Australia?
I'm at Fionnuala J everywhere on social media. If you want to come see me do a bit of emceeing and comedy, I am hosting the Christmas Crackers event at Vicar Street on December 6th. There's like drag, comedy, loads of much funnier people than me involved. It is going to be such a good night. Good idea for a Christmas party if anyone hasn't sorted that out yet.
Okay.
There's still tickets available.
Still tickets available.
Yeah.
Sound. Okay, lads, thanks for coming in. We'll be back with more after this.